The following is a paid program on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.
This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO, Licensed Insolvency Trustees. The views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of this station. Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO on VOCM.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Money with Nancy Snedden. I am Nancy Snedden. Thanks so much for joining us today. So today's topic is your finances and the COVID-19 crisis. They're certainly concerning and uncertain times. While the health and well-being of people is most important at this time, I know that a lot of New Zealand and Labradorians are very concerned about their finances as well. From the volatility to markets and the impact it's having on people's investments to layoffs and job uncertainty, finances are certainly on top of everyone's mind. So over the next hour, we're going to be giving you advice on what you can be doing to help manage your finances and, of course, the financial stress caused by that. So joining me for the discussion is Aaron Facey. He's a financial advisor with Facey Financial, and Adam Cardwell, a manager of my practice at BDO Debt Solutions. So thank you both for joining me today.
You're welcome, Nancy. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me.
So guys, I'd like to just get your thoughts, I guess, just in general of everything that's happening. You know, the markets are in turmoil. We're hearing layoffs consistently throughout the news. I think the latest statistic I heard is over a million people in Canada at this point have filed an EI claim, which, you know, is unprecedented. So, Aaron, what are your thoughts on what's happening in the economy today?
Nancy, it's a really interesting question. But, I mean, you know, we're definitely in unprecedented times. Who knows what and how long this COVID-19 pandemic is going to last? And what it's going to do to stock markets. I mean, like, everybody sort of in my field is hoping that a new normal is created. So, you know, we're still living in the self-isolation world, but people are still sort of, you know, regaining confidence in the markets, and at least we stabilize and stop sort of the drops going on. But, you know, a question I've been asked a lot in the last couple of weeks, and I don't know if anybody could really give an answer, but, you know, just fingers crossed that, you know, all the work that we're doing with Canadian health, that we can come out of this as quick as possible.
Yeah, I know. The nation's economy, they're saying it's likely to shrink somewhere between 10 and 24% in the second quarter on an annualized basis. At least that's what the forecasts are showing. That would mark the largest quarterly decline since at least, I think, the 1960s. Would you agree with that?
I think that the only really saving grace in all of this is that we're all, you know, the world as a whole is in this together. And we're all going to have to collectively try to figure out, you know, between the G7 leaders and all that, and how we can rebuild our economy. But, you know, with the level of uncertainty, I mean, you can't put a million Canadians out of work and expect it not to affect long-term, you know, the economy. And I think that there's going to definitely be challenges going forward. And it's, yeah, who knows? Because it's so unprecedented. Who knows?
Absolutely. And I think to your point, like, everyone needs to work together and pull together. And we are seeing that, right? Like, we'll talk more in the show about what government is doing to help Canadians. We'll talk about what the banks have put forward to try to help Canadians and so on. But Adam, what are your thoughts on what's happening right now? What are you hearing from clients?
It is certainly unprecedented times. I don't think anybody expected this even 2 weeks ago. And I mean, I personally was in denial, for lack of a better word, this time last week. So it's changing so quickly that it's hard to kind of predict where it's going to go. In our line of work, specializing in insolvency and exploring, you know, financial options with consumer debtors, what we're seeing is a lot of panic, a lot of anxiety, because there's just so many people unexpectedly out of work. Just in the last week, I couldn't even put a number on the amount of people that I've spoken to, and I know everyone on our team is seeing the same thing. There's just a huge number of people that are out of work, and the range is so diverse. You know, you have people in the service industry and in retail, and you have the tradespeople. You know, construction sites are essentially at a standstill. Small businesses are being hit extra hard because they suffered through the snowmageddon that we experienced here in Newfoundland, and now this. And everyone from, you know, doctors' offices to legal practices. I mean, these are people that, you know, never expected to be without work and never thought in a million years that they would have to lay off staff and close shop. But here we are. So, like you said, Aaron, there's a lot of uncertainty. This is, you know, unprecedented. So we're all in this together. And hopefully we can kind of figure it all out together and bounce back from this.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, as long as people, I know it's hard. We saw a lot of people panic buying, for example, in the last couple of weeks here. And you're seeing, you know, people talking about the lineups at Costco, the amount of stuff that's no longer on the shelf. I think some of that is starting to settle out, which is good because, you know, when you're worried about your finances, the last thing you should be doing really is spending additional funds that you may need to see you through this, buying things that really is due to panic and not because we're necessarily gonna run out of it. And I'm glad to see that that is starting to settle out. I know, you know, when I went to the grocery store yesterday to pick up a couple of essentials that I needed, milk, bread, so on, there was a lot fewer people in the grocery store. There was a lot more stuff on the shelves. So I think some of the stores too are limiting now that you can only buy two of this, you can only buy two of that to help prevent people from getting into that panic buy. But, you know, it's all part of it, right? We're in unprecedented times, as we've all said. So the more people try to settle out and get into our new normal from being isolated, from working from home and so on, I think people will start to feel a little less anxiety and stress about the virus itself, hopefully. So as discussed, the market volatility right now is creating uncertainty among investors. Business closures, layoffs, we're all creating uncertainty for many people. When your money returns, we're going to talk to you about how you can manage your finances in more detail during this COVID-19 crisis. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada here in Newfoundland and Labrador. So today's discussion is around your finances and the COVID-19 crisis. And joining for discussion is Aaron Facey. He is a financial advisor with Facey Financial, and Adam Cargill, a manager in my practice here at BDO Debt Solutions. So I do want to point out that, you know, we are practicing physical distancing as we're recording the show today. We're all attending by phone. We've got Kira Totter in the studio producing for us, but we're all on the phone making sure that we're doing our part to flatten the curve, but still getting this information out to you guys. So I'd like to talk more now, Aaron, about what we're seeing in the markets. The volatility has a lot of investors concerned. Coronavirus continues to spread globally. I know a lot of Canadians are worried not only about their health, but about their retirement plans. What would you say to them?
As always, I think staying the course, you know, and I know it's hard to just sometimes for people to do this, but sort of the hold on for the ride is historically the best way to get through this. We've had the worst day in 80 years, because one thing we got to remember, the market itself isn't unprecedented. So the drops in the market, what's been unprecedented is the movement and the speed of the movement. So we've had the worst day in 80 years in a to TSX, and yesterday we had one of the best since 1977. So, you know, we've sort of got those ebbs and flows going on right now as things become, as I said before the break, the new norm. But anybody who decided to cash out and didn't get in before yesterday missed a significant gain opportunity. So again, just sort of riding out that wave as history tells us, I think that's the best piece of advice that I could give for anybody right now.
So how do you reassure people? So if your clients are calling you saying, what should I do? Should I be selling right now? Should I be weathering the storm, like you're saying? Like, how are you reassuring them that there's no need to panic?
Well, that's easier said sometimes than done, especially in this scenario. I mean, normal market conditions like we saw in 2000, sorry, not normal, but financially driven market conditions like we saw in 2008. You know, you can sort of really lean back on history and say, this is what history tells us that we should be doing, right? Because that's really the only thing we can look back on. Currently, with the sort of the COVID-19 scare and some of the oil down pressure, it's a little bit of a different space, but we still can only really rely on that history. So all I'm doing is trying to sort of, I guess, figuratively talk people sort of off the edge. And I got to say, in our practice, we haven't really had a significant call it, I guess, panic would be the right word, towards their money. It's been sort of really just sort of reassuring, you know, having general conversations, talking about pandemics in the past and what they've done to markets and, you know, what we should look at doing. So that's kind of where, and the approach that we're taking, and it's like most people now, it's on a case, sort of case-by-case basis.
Yeah, and from what I've been reading, they're saying that, you know, people who did kind of sit on the sidelines and wait to recoup their losses during the 2008 financial crisis fared much better than people who kind of panicked and sold stocks at low prices during the downturn. So I would suspect that that's what you're encouraging people to do here as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've got some slides and some market research that show, you know, all the pandemics that go back, right back to the 1970s. And besides AIDS and HIV, we've seen regains in the market to an average of 8.5% from the previous high within 6 months. Now, whether this is going to sort of prolong from that and not be 6 months, you know, be 12 to 24, you know, who knows because of the nature of it. But, you know, history shows that if we just sort of ride it out, we will, you know, certainly we'll see our negatives, but we'll definitely see our benefits on the other side.
And Aaron, how important is it for investors and clients to be reaching out to their financial advisors to get advice during this time?
It all depends. I mean, I think any time that you have a relationship with somebody who's managing it, and in some cases a significant amount of your money, I think, you know, embracing it and enhancing that relationship at any given time is the best course of action. But some people just aren't really worried as much about their money in markets like this as some others. So they may not reach out. So I'm not going to say that, you know, you definitely, you know, should be calling your financial advisor. If you've got some fears and you want to sort of have a conversation about what it may look like on the other side of this COVID-19 market situation that we're in, you know, definitely reach out. Don't hesitate to have that conversation. But I mean, not everybody is in the same level of worry. So, you know, it's not, you know, mandatory that you reach out. Just keep your relationships with your financial advisors going and make sure that they're maintained.
Yeah, and I guess if you are worried or you're feeling some stress and anxiety, to have that conversation could put those fears and anxieties to rest a little bit.
Oh, 100%. You know, if people are worried about their money, then you know, and they've got a relationship with a financial advisor, have that conversation and you know, get some of that stress. There's enough stress in right now with, you know, our lockdowns and our, you know, self-isolation and all that stuff, that money really should be right now one of the least of those stressors. Certainly the retirement savings should be one of the least stressors on your life right now at this moment.
Right. And I guess there was some help from the federal government when they announced that they're lowering the required minimum withdrawal on a RIF by 25% this year. Do you think that will have an impact for many people?
I'm not too sure. I think it's great for some people who, you know, they're only taking the minimums out of their RIF. You know, that's going to sort of alleviate some long-term pressure. But again, if we look at through the history of the market, and if we go through this sort of in some form of normal ebb and flow of what the market is, we will be back and stronger than we were. But I can understand why they did it. You know, most people in these scenarios, they're probably going to want to take out more than the minimum, depending on where they are. So whether or not it's going to help, or who knows? I mean, for the people who don't really need that capital coming in, yes, it's a great way to save, you know, to push it longer term. But, you know, it was definitely one of the weaker of the financial, in my opinion, I should say.
Well, there's lots more to come and lots more advice on how you can manage your finances during this time. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm Nancy Snedden. Today, we're talking about how to manage your finances during the COVID-19 crisis. And joining me for discussion is Aaron Facey. He's a financial advisor with Facey Financial, and Adam Cardwell, a manager in our practice here at BDO Debt Solutions in St. John. So, Aaron, I'd like to go back a little bit to investors. But what I'd like to talk about now is, how do people who are closer to retirement and are fearful that they've just lost a significant amount of value in their retirement savings, what would you say to them about the ability to rebound and like if they're only a year or two from retirement versus a younger person who's, you know, got years to try to recoup their losses?
Well, I mean, you know, if somebody is within a year, 2 years of retirement, and this may be the reason why they can't retire. I think that that is a really short-term look, and I think that there's, you know, that relationship with a financial advisor should be able to enhance that. Because if you were that close when you looked at retirement, then I think that there was more planning that needed to happen before you could really comfortably retire within the next year or 2 years anyway. Because we're going to see market conditions go down again. You know, we're going to see a bear market, and then we're going to see a bull, and then we're going to see another bear, and then we're going to see another. So this ebb and flow is going to happen anyway. I think that, go back to your earlier question of, you know, is it important to see your financial advisor? And I think in that instance, somebody who's within that 1 to 2 years and is concerned whether this is drastically going to affect that, that's definitely that conversation that you need to have with a financial advisor or your financial advisor that you have a relationship with so that you can cover that off. With regard to the younger sort of people, you know, I've had lots of calls about people wanting to reinvest. And I think that it's a great idea. Depending on where you are employment-wise, I think that it may make some sense. In other situations, it may not, because a lot of people don't know what the future is going to bring for the next 6 months. So divulging of cash may not be the best scenario right now.
Right. And I have heard that from people actually who maybe do have a little bit of a nest egg or some savings that they're considering. You know, a lot of stock prices have taken a dive now. Is this a good time to start investing in those to hope to recoup the gains when things turn around?
Yeah, I think it really is a great time. But I don't think that even if, you know, in my practice, you know, we try to stick to, you know, some fundamentals. And one, your risk tolerance has to be able to take this sort of market investing, right? And
right.
So if you're an aggressive investor, yes, this is a, you know, aggressive or an advanced investor where your portfolio sits at 80% equity, 20% or higher, even some higher balanced investors, they could really sort of maybe look at this as a buying opportunity. But again, you know, divulging of all of your cash to buy into a market where in this sort of unprecedented situation of around COVID, you know, I've got some reservations to sort of telling clients to you, this is definitely something that you should do, because we don't know what employment situations are going to be like. And I think having those 1 to 3 months of savings or some form of savings to get us through over and above what EI program the government might have, you know, may be beneficial. And although it is a great time to invest, maybe it's not the best time for everybody to divulge their cash to do that. That makes some sense.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And I think to your point earlier, if you're considering things like that, it probably is a good time to reach out to someone like yourself to figure out, is it the best course of action right now for you, given your finances? And part of that has got to be considering this may not necessarily be a short-term thing. Like I've heard some people, you know, if you look at some of the craziness coming out of the U.S. where they think that they potentially may be back up and running in a couple of weeks, versus, you know, you got the other end of the spectrum that are saying it could be up to 6 months. So, you know, hopefully we're somewhere in the middle there before we kind of get back to normal. But having the discussions to find out what might be best for you and planning your savings to last where you need it to last and so on is going to be the best course of action, I think.
And I think, you know, flattening that curve is right now our most important, you know, factor. I think that when you look at what's going to happen as this COVID-19 takes its course is that a significant amount of the population, the world's population, is going to get some varying level of COVID-19. I don't know what they call it. I believe it's a community immunity, something along those lines, where 60% of the population has to go through the illness to develop the immunities to get there, to fight it off. It's flattening the curve so that our healthcare system can sustain what's going to happen. I think that's where the U.S. is missing the most. And I saw a tweet today saying how their level of negligence towards it and wanting to do this by Easter is going to prolong worldwide economic recovery longer than it needs to. But unfortunately, I don't know how we're going to solve that problem.
Yeah, you know, I think he needs to listen to what people say. We're not going to change that overnight. I mean, he's been doing craziness since he got into office in some respects. But hopefully he'll see the light there. So, Aaron, any advice for those who are currently retired and are seeing the income that they're currently drawing from being reduced in value?
Well, I would say that most people would not see the income that they're receiving reduced. What they'll see is this savings that is producing that income is being reduced. And in some people, that will affect their levels that they will take out next year. So there'll have to be readjustments. So anybody who's taken out minimums, those minimums potentially could be reduced for next year when the recalculation is done on your RIFs and your LIFs. But again, I told a number of clients to, you know, look at what your monthly is and what's actually affected. And for most people who are using the retirement savings as a form of retirement, which when someone's doing that 100%, that number's actually really small. But like, look at that and tell me what the effect is. And when you actually look at it, in most people's cases, it's a monthly effect. So as long as they have enough money to get the next 12 to 24 months, the regain on the other side will happen. Although, you know, we are withdrawing cash, so there's less units there to regain. It is what it is, and people kind of got to just sort of relax and you know, let it take its course, and we can readjust at the other side.
Yeah, and I guess, Adam, from your perspective, people in that situation are in a similar boat, I guess, to those who are seeing layoffs or reductions in income because of what's happening in the working world. And our advice to them is to really have a hard look at your budget.
Yeah, I think now more than ever, preparing a budget is more important, especially if your income has been reduced or you foresee that your income is going to be reduced in the future. Now would be the time to really evaluate, you know, what's coming in and what's going out. And, you know, kind of as a family or as a household, sit down and look at, okay, what needs to be paid and what can be reduced. You know, now would be the time to kind of trim the fat, you know, and get rid of the extras and be a little bit more frugal with, you know, your heat and light and your groceries and your utilities to kind of really see what you need to get through these next few months. Because people should be planning for months now, not weeks. From what you're hearing, is be prepared for this to go on for months. So if you're someone whose income has just been reduced, then, like I said, now more than ever, it would be important to sit down and see, you know, given your new situation, your new normal, we'll call it, are you able to kind of meet your minimum requirements for the next few months? And if not, what can be reduced? And kind of see if you're in a situation where you need outside help, or are you able to weather the storm on your own?
And, you know, the federal government has announced some COVID-19 economic response plans. We're going to talk about those when we return. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada here in Newfoundland and Labrador. My guests today are Aaron Facey. He's a financial advisor with Facey Financial, and Adam Cardwell, a manager at BDO Debt Solutions here in St. John's. So today's discussion is the COVID-19 crisis, and understandably, Canadians, Newfoundland and Labradorians are concerned about the health of their family finances during these uncertain times. So to alleviate the stress and anxiety, the financial fallout from this pandemic, the government has announced an $82 million financial aid package and even called an emergency session this past week in the House of Commons to see that package passed. So, you know, happy to report that that package, of course, has now passed. So let's go through some of the highlights. The one-week waiting period is being waived for EI insurance and EI sickness benefits for 6 months. An emergency care benefit equivalent to EI benefits has been introduced for those who wouldn't qualify for EI insurance. Self-employed individuals, for example, those who do not have enough hours to qualify, those that do not have paid sick leave and have to remain home because they are sick or have to care for a child or family member. Parents will receive a temporary boost to child care benefit payments, $300 per child. Lower income Canadians, there will be a boost to the GST, so $400 for single individuals, close to $600 for couples. And Canadians now have until June 1st to file their taxes. Also, taxpayers can defer taxes owing until August 31st without interest or penalties. That will be huge for many who worry about having to pay their taxes when, in a time, I guess, when they're trying to conserve every dollar that they can to make sure that they can meet their day-to-day expenses. So this follows, of course, the Bank of Canada's emergency interest rate cut, where it now stands at 0.75%. So, Adam, what do you think this means for people? I mean, I think I said at the top of the show, there's over a million people now in Canada that have filed for EI benefits.
Well, I think what it means is people are going to have to adjust their finances and their lifestyle and their household budget. So I mentioned in the last section the importance of having a proper budget. I mean, that's something that, you know, we kind of preach on a regular basis. But of course, now more than ever, it's important to do that. And so to kind of touch on that for a minute, if you in your household sit down and do a very detailed list of your income and expenses and all your financial requirements to creditors, and you find that there's a shortfall, you know, this stimulus package is going to be great. Kudos to the federal government for doing it. It's going to be a big boost. But for a lot of people, it's not going to be enough. So, I mean, if you're, you know, one of the many households that find, you know, the increase to the child tax benefit, the, you know, the break on the interest rates and so on is not quite enough to meet your financial obligations, well, then you need to kind of look at plan B. Anybody in that situation, I would recommend reaching out to your financial institution and kind of have the conversation about deferring payments or maybe consolidating some unsecured debt to lower the amount of minimum payments you have to make on a monthly basis and kind of reduce the amount of interest you're paying every month. I guess that would be the first kind of start to tackling your own financial crisis.
Yeah, I agree. The banks have stepped up certainly and are offering different packages to people. We're seeing them offer up to 6 months deferral on mortgage payments. They're also saying, not as many details around it, but they're also saying that they will, on a case-by-case basis, offer other incentives for people, other ways that they can reduce their payments or interest or so on other things like lines of credit and credit cards. So I guess the important thing is to contact your financial institution if you are struggling to make your minimum payments right now, or if you just think you're going to need the funds to survive long term and you want a little break there to reduce things in your budget, is to call and see what is available. The one caution I would give, though, is to find out what the repercussion of taking advantage of that might be. So, for example, it's unclear in some cases whether or not interest will continue to accrue. So if interest continues to accrue while you're not making your payment, for example, that could mean an increased payments going forward once the deferral period is up. So make sure you're prepared for what the consequence to taking advantage of those are, and you really have a good understanding of that.
I think you hit the nail on the head there, Nancy, because a lot of people are asking, you know, us the questions, and there's a lot of uncertainty there, what the implications are of deferring things like mortgage payments. So I think communication is going to be key right now, especially with your bank or your mortgage holder and the financial institutions, to make sure you understand the consequences, if any, of deferring any of these payments.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to talk some more about how you can manage your own monthly budget during this crisis when we return. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm Nancy Snedden. My guests today are Aaron Facey. He's a financial advisor with Facey Financial, and Adam Cardwell, manager with BDO Debt Solutions here in St. John's. So today we're discussing the COVID-19 crisis, and earlier in the show we had some great advice on manager investments from Aaron and, you know, the things to consider during these uncertain economic times. We also discussed the government's emergency aid package. But right now, guys, I think I'd like to turn to how people can really focus on their monthly budget and how do they can lessen the financial impact during this crisis. So, Aaron, what advice do you have for people as before we kind of hear from Adam on some budgeting tips and stuff like that? What advice do you have for people on the overall financial management month to month?
Well, I'm really going to sort of defer to yourself and Adam, you know, on this one. This is much more of your wheelhouse than mine. I can tell you, you know, for us personally, so myself and my wife, you know, our financial practice is affected by this downturn and not sure sort of, you know, how deep it goes and if it continues sort of where we're going to be. So we've done sort of what Adam said before the break, is sat down and went, what if, and then sort of what will we have to do sort of to mitigate, you know, those risks. I think that, you know, one comment I'll have where if, you know, there is uncertainty around those deferrals, which is definitely something that in my home could come into play, you know, maybe a little bit later than sooner than, or sorry, later than sooner. But, you know, I think that if there are financial institutions out there that are using, you know, continuously to charge interest, and there are financial institutions out there that are not, I think that people who are tied with finance institutions that are still charging interest need to pay attention to who's not. And when the market regains and you can find ways to move away from that, I think that's how we penalize those institutions that are doing that. I think in this time of crisis, we need everybody, including those institutions, to step up and say, hey, we know where you are. We want this to fix itself. So that's what we're going to do. But I'm going to defer to you guys on this. I mean, my house is doing its budget and making sure that we can do it just like everybody else's. And that would be so you guys feel free to fill this one.
Great. Thanks, Aaron. So, Adam, for people who are looking for ways to reduce their budget, I mean, hopefully some people do have an emergency savings fund out there. We know that there's so many people in Newfoundland and Labrador that are living paycheck to paycheck, and savings is just not something that everybody has. So what advice do you have for them?
I think the first and most important part to setting up a realistic budget is determine what income you're going to receive for these next few months or for the foreseeable future. So, you know, is it going to be a reduced salary, or is it going to be EI benefits? Is there going to be a government subsidy? So, I mean, you need to have a realistic idea of what's coming in first. Of course, the next obvious step in any budget is, you know, what has to be paid? Make a list of all your, you know, your monthly debts and your obligations. So the obvious would be, you know, the rent and the mortgage and, you know, car payments and insurance and, you know, so your financial obligations. These things have to be paid. You know, at some point they're going to have to be tackled. So again, you want a clear picture of what income is coming in and what's going out. And then this is a good time to really kind of put in perspective, you know, what can you do without? You know, so the needs versus the wants. And this is a great opportunity for everybody to kind of trim the non-essential expenses. You know, some examples of that would be to, you know, reduce your utility packages. You know, do you need those extra cable packages? You know, can you be more frugal with your energy usage? I think Newfoundlanders now more than ever are more conscious of that. And even things like groceries, you know, they're, you know, couponing, shop sales, buy in bulk wherever possible, wherever it makes sense. So it's important to kind of sit down and have a very realistic and as accurate as you can picture of what your income is going to be for the foreseeable future, what has to be paid, and now the needs versus wants, and what can you do without. Once you have an important idea of what that looks like, I think most people will have a realization that, you know, okay, I can do this. You know, this isn't forever. This is a certain point in time. We can get through this. Or B, we're going to need some extra help. You know, we're overwhelmed and our reduced income is not going to be enough to cover our essentials. And at that point in time is the, you know, kind of the light bulb goes off and it's time to call for some outside help.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I would never be someone who would say, you know, use your credit to pay monthly bills and monthly expenses. In some cases, people won't have a choice right now. But what I would caution them is if you're going to dip into your line of credit or, you know, a credit card because you need to pay your light bill or you need to put food on the table, then make sure you have a plan in place as to how you're going to repay that once we come out of this. You know, that's got to be built in into your budget before you start using those types of things. But in some cases, people won't have a choice.
Yeah, sorry, Nancy. Just sort of, you know, and on top of that, sort of from my world is again, I know that as people go, you know, money changes coming into the household and their budget restrictions and stuff like that RSPs and stuff become a really easy place to get capital. And I'm going to rank them in the same level as the credit. You know, be cognizant that if you need it, by all means, let's have that conversation and let's get it to you, because, you know, surviving and, you know, and making sure that things are some form of normal at the end of this is important. But don't let it be the first place you go, because it's easy to maintain a lifestyle. Like Adam said, work within your budget and see how you can reduce in your budget first before you start taking away, you know, future savings and retirement savings, because to the prolonged effect in our economy with that type of withdrawal of retirement savings is as bad as increase of debt, and federal governments are going to have enough trouble getting out of this all over the world. You know, with new stimulus packages, alone having people into a workforce till they're 75 because they've used all their retirement savings to maintain a lifestyle that could have been easily mitigated.
RFPs are exempt, so don't go into those. Reach out for help if you need help with your debt before you tap into those.
Right,
and also remember, you're going to be taxed on those as well, those withdrawals. So two really important things to consider. Well, please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to have some time for some final thoughts.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back to Your Money with BDO. I'm Nancy Snedden. I'd really like to thank my guests today, Aaron Facey, financial advisor with Facey Financial, and Adam Cardwell, manager with BDO Debt Solutions here in St. John's. So, guys, we've got some time now for some final thoughts. Before we get to that, I just want to share why we did this show. There's a polls that have come out recently that say 3 in 4 Canadians are currently experiencing financial stress as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. And nearly 1/3 of those are extremely stressed at the point where they're losing sleep over their finances. Only 6% of people are feeling financially secure. So I hope that some of the advice we gave people today, our listeners out there, is helpful in relieving some of that financial stress. So Aaron, I'll go to you now. If you could leave our listeners with a final piece of advice today, what would it be?
I just want to let the listeners know that I'm not sort of absolved from that financial stress either. I mean, my background allowed me to sort of maybe plan a little differently or plan, you know, be more cognizant of my plan. But I mean, I think we're all under and going to continue to be under financial stress as long as this COVID-19 thing continues to sort of move forward. The one piece of advice I think that all the listeners need to pay attention to, sort of what I've said and what Nancy you've said and what Adam said, because they're all extremely important piece of advice there. I mean, just maintaining, you know, your budget and making sure sort of what money's coming in and how it goes out. And I don't want to steal too much of Adam's thunder there, but you know, pay attention to that. If you've got a relationship with a financial advisor and that stress level is high and you want to alleviate, have that conversation with that advisor. If you're not getting the answers that you want from that financial advisor, then it's time for you to maybe look elsewhere, because we are in that unprecedented sort of scenario where we're not 100% sure where it's going. And, you know, having somebody sitting at the table that, you know, is living and breathing and wants to have that conversation is important as well. So, you know, I want everybody who's listening just to sort of step back, take a couple of wonderful breaths, look at the wonderful family that they've got next to them or in front of them. You know, video conference your parents, your grandparents, or whatever the scenario is, or your grandkids, and then start to worry about your money. Breathe and realize that life is here first, and then let's start worrying about your money, and then find the experts like myself and you and Adam to try to figure out how everything else sort of works out.
Yeah, that's some great advice, Aaron. It's so important, to, especially in this world of self-isolation, to take care or to take advantage, I guess, of those things like Skype video calls and stuff like that to stay connected with the people around you and make sure that everyone's doing okay. So thanks so much for joining me today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you very much for having me.
And Adam, what final piece of advice do you have for our listeners today?
Kind of to pick up where Aaron left off. I mean, it's not all doom and gloom. What I tell everybody who I meet within the run of a day is, you know, there are always options. So, I mean, you're never left or stuck to deal with these kind of things on your own. The reasons why there's guys like Aaron out there, and reason why, you know, in our line of work, Nancy, you know, the Bankruptcy Insolvency Act exists, is to help people who are struggling financially or people who are insolvent or unable to meet their financial obligations. That's why we're here. So, I mean, if you've taken the advice that we've given today and you find that, you know, you or your significant other are still in a place where, you know, you're not able to kind of meet your financial obligations, pick up the phone and call someone like myself or Nancy, call BDO or Facey Financial and explore your options, or call your financial institution. there's a lot of misconceptions out there as to how, you know, things like consumer proposals and personal bankruptcies work. And, you know, we're here to kind of misspell those misconceptions and kind of meet with you and come up with a solution that works for you and your family. So, like I said in the beginning, we're all in this together and we'll all come out of it together. And don't feel like you're alone. We're here to help.
Well, thanks, Adam. Appreciate that. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
So some great discussion today, some great advice for our listeners. And it is important for people to know that although we're in a world where most people are working from home, we are still working. We are still there to help. So please reach out. Our counselors are available, you know, every day by phone. We can walk you through your options. We can even help you set up a monthly budget if you're struggling to figure out where you might have problems cutting or where you can cut back on your expenses. The important thing is that you get some help, get some advice so that you can relieve the financial stress that you're currently feeling. So until next week, I'm Nancy Snedden. Stay safe, everyone.
If you have a question or comment for Your Money, send an email to yourmoney@bdo.ca. This has been Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO, Licensed Insolvency Trustees on VOCM.
The proceeding was a paid program on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.